Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Hartsville Sports Network podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Jaworski, and today I'm joined by
Demaya Bishop
and Antonio Hicks.
You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and of course, the home of the Red Foxes, hhsredfoxes.com. Make sure to like, share, subscribe, and five-star rate. Also, make sure to follow us on Instagram at Hartsville Sports Network.
How was y'all week?
It was solid, you know, dropped the album. It's popping, you know, 3,200 plays in like 2 days. It's all right.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you, Antonio?
My week was good. Coming back off my shoulder injury, I got news, I think it was Tuesday, that I can come back and start back playing again, you know, getting ready for Friday and stuff like that. So, like, my overall week was good. You know, I've been coming back, trying to hustle hard, get to the ball and all that, you know, so I can play on Friday.
Y'all play Friday?
We play Camden.
Camden. Oh, I've been hearing a lot of trash talk on the social media.
Yeah, but we don't entertain that, you know. We just stay humble and let our game do the talking. So,
what about you, Demaya?
I had a long week, actually, with all the anatomy work, and I got my braces tightened yesterday, and it kind of got my talking off. So now my mouth all sore.
Now it's time for our favorite segment, Red Fox Week in Review.
Looking back on last week's Hartsville volleyball team, we defeated the Eagles of the Governor School last Thursday, August 26th, 3-0. First set, 25-18, second set, 25-10, and the third set, 25-9. Leading the Red Foxes were juniors Emily Isgett, 7 kills, 3 aces with 17 points overall, and Darisha McAllister, 5 kills, 5 aces, 14 points overall. In their region opener versus North Myrtle Beach, the Red Foxes lost in 3 straight sets. First set, 19-25, second set, 19-25, and the third set, 11-25. Although they were swept, Coach Smith seemed very optimistic in our interview after the game.
It was very tough. Of course, they're kind of like the kingpin of the region, you know. It was a tough game. The girls played hard. We missed some 2 starters, actually 3 starters yesterday. We had a middle that was out, and then Mara and Eli, they collided at the net a week ago. One's got a broke jaw, one's got a concussion. So very difficult, but we was able to put people in place, and we hung with them. It really wasn't a blowout. Sounds like it 3-0, but it was 25-19, 25-19, and then at the end, it kind of took it all out of us, 25-11. Yeah, definitely playing against a good, strong team. It revealed some shortcomings that we have. So going forward, we could probably try to tidy those areas up. One of the biggest things is serve receive. Against a good team that can really serve them well, we shanked a few. And that was the difference in the ball game. It was just 5-6 points that made a difference.
The Lady Foxes will be in action again on Thursday, September 2nd, for their home opener against the West Florence Lady Knights.
This past Saturday, the Foxes traveled to Bluffton for a non-region game against SCHSL top 10 ranked May River High School. The Foxes were defeated 43-28, which moved May River to a 2-0 record on the season, while Hartsville fell to 0-1. Leading the way for the Foxes were DeMarion Cole, who returned a kickoff for a touchdown, junior Jayshawn Anderson, who added 2 touchdown runs, and quarterback McKendry Douglas, who had a key 12-yard touchdown pass to Jonathan Flemester. The Foxes will be looking to bounce back against Camden High School Friday, September 3rd. Kickoff will be at 7:30 at Kellytown Stadium.
The Hartsville High cross-country team traveled to West Florence on Tuesday, August 30th. Both the boys and the girls team had outstanding races and placed second overall in the team results. Jonathan McIntosh and Ethan Hickey led the boys team with a 5th and 6th place finish respectively. In the girls race, Katie Nutt won by almost a minute over the 2nd place finisher. And that's our Red Fox Week in Review.
We would like to welcome to the show the head coach of the Red Fox football team, Coach Calabrese.
What's up? How y'all doing today?
Good. Yeah,
what about you?
I'm doing okay. Doing okay. What's up, man?
Today, for right now, we got some icebreaker questions, some this or that. So, like, which one we prefer, which one, you know. So,
All right.
First one is NFL or college football. Like, which one you like to watch or?
College. No doubt.
Yeah,
the boys get after it. And they're not getting paid for it.
Yeah, it's like a different atmosphere when you watch college versus NFL.
Oh, man, it's crazy. People people just all over the place cheering on their teams and squatting up, man. It's pretty awesome.
Spirit's so, better.
Yeah, the spirit's
no
better.
No doubt.
The next one on the list is TV shows or movies.
Movies, man, no doubt. You can just kind of immerse yourself into a two-hour flick, man. Just dive into it. No doubt, movies.
Same. Rap or country?
Man, I used to like rap, but I got married, and my wife likes country, so obviously the answer now is I like country.
Yes, sir. Next on the list is Netflix or Hulu?
Netflix, man, no doubt.
Same. Next one on the list is Apple or Android?
Apple. I don't even know how to work an Android, to be honest with you, man. Apple's the only thing I know right now.
Yeah, I had Apple for like years now. I know
how to operate that. You know, when you get older, you don't know about all this tech stuff. So once you get on something, you just stay on it. So Apple do it all the way.
Next one on the list is train or airplane, traveling wise.
Man, trains are bumpy, man. Give me an airplane. I can get there in a hurry, you know what I'm saying? Fly through the air. I don't want to be on no train, man. That click-clack, I don't know. I can't relax on that. I ain't
never been on no train.
I can't go on no plane. I'm scared of heights.
Well, you can't get no plane then, that's for sure.
Next one on the list, city or countryside?
Country, man. That fresh air and smell. I've lived in a city before, and that's just not me. I'm a slow down kind of guy. I don't want to be in the city. All the horns going, sirens, man. Give me the country any day.
Where are you from?
Well, I'm from North Augusta, but I was actually born in New Jersey. Transplanted down when I was in seventh grade. Ooh, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
I got that accent. You didn't ever think I was born and up in Jersey, did you?
No, sir.
Yeah, I hide it well. I hide it well.
Next question on the list. Which sports did you play in high school?
I was obviously a football player and also did track. I really believe in multi-sport athletes. I was terrible at basketball, and I was 5'7", so Coach E wouldn't have won me on his squad. Baseball, I liked baseball a lot, but Coach Gainey wouldn't have took me because I couldn't hit anything. But I could throw a discus, so I did track and football in high school.
Where did you go to college?
I went to Newberry College. It was the only college that would let me play football, so that's the one I decided on going to.
We know that everyone has to face adversity along your journey. What kind of adversity did you have to face, and how did you overcome it?
I'll tell you an interesting story is I applied when I was an assistant coach. I was actually at Hartsville High School in 1994, and I wanted to be a head coach. And I started applying for jobs, and I was declined 25 times. Ooh. But I didn't stop. I didn't give in. I didn't give up. I thought that's what I wanted to do, and I've had to find the right school. And I've been blessed to be a head coach for 21 years now. But the biggest thing is if you have a dream, follow it. No matter who shuts the door, no matter who says you can't do it or you're not good enough, if you believe in it, you are. And you got to keep chasing. So no doubt that was an early on adversity I had.
All right, so we all know you have kids and you are married. How do you create a balance between your work and professional life?
Oh man, that's hard. You know, it's so hard because when you're a coach, you give everything to your team and your squad. But I don't have a lot of other, you know, I don't play golf. I don't have a lot of other hobbies besides being with my family. I love cooking. So on the weekends, I try to cook a big meal and we sit around as family. Any chance we get to try to be together, we try to do it. So I try to be present when I'm home. Now, I fail on that a lot, but I think the biggest thing is when I walk in the door, I'm present, I'm in the moment, I try to spend time with my family.
Coach, take us through the average game day for a head coach.
Well, I don't know if it's everybody. I can tell you, like for me, it's prep at 7:30 in the morning, and I just immerse myself. I watch some last-minute film. Spend about 4 hours on that, go through the game plan, re-go through the game plan. Then I do a little meditation where I just shut my eyes and I play the game in my head. You know, I try to visualize it. I'm a big person with visualization. So I really just try to play it all through and go through all the decisions. We have to get out equipment. So in football, you got to give out game pants and belts and all this kind of stuff. So we do that about midday. Then I come back in, go through the film one more time, go through the game plan one more time, do one more visualization so it happens twice. And then I just shut off all the noise. One of the things that I have to do in order to operate in chaos is be completely immersed in where I am and in control of my emotions. You know, so many times in sports, things go haywire and you lose your cool. And one of the things that I really try to do is keep calm and be able to work through the game no matter what the highs are or what the lows are. So that takes an extreme mental situation. So it's a lot of mental prep. And then obviously in the travel situation is getting the team out on time, making sure you follow a pregame schedule up until game time. And then, you know, that's it. So it's a lot of mental prep, really getting in the moment, making sure that you're present. And really, also, I pray before the game. You know, one of the things I ask is for peace and calm and just to give me the strength to make great decisions. And great decisions not about winning and losing, but for our men. And that, again, helps me understand where I need to be, what my priorities are, even in going into the game.
Was coaching always the plan?
Coaching was always the plan. I don't even know what I would do if I couldn't coach. You know, it's funny. It kind of hit me when I was in sixth grade. I have a love for helping people, and I have a love for the game of football. Obviously, those are my passions. And so, yeah, I don't even know what I would do, Antonio, if it wasn't for coaching. That's for sure.
Did you have someone that you looked up to? To want to coach?
You know, I had a lot of great examples growing up of great coaches, and I also had some bad examples. But obviously when you meet a couple coaches that really dive into your life and really pour into you and help you as a man or a woman, you know, help you become a better. What a noble profession. What a way to give back to somebody else to help them on their journey. So, yeah, I had a couple teachers and a couple coaches that really sparked and really drove me into the profession.
So being a head coach for so many years, what are some of the things you have seen change over the time?
Well, you know, it's funny because I've actually, when I first started coaching way long time ago, these little devices called cell phones, they weren't around. The internet wasn't created. Boy, am I aging myself, huh? So I think that, you know, the kids are the same, but the way they go about their life is different. I mean, you guys see it. You're on the phone. You can go through, you can click through that phone and see so much information in a short period of time. So I think we just try to learn to communicate so that y'all can engage and learn that lesson. Obviously, kids are still tough. Kids are still hardworking. That part of it, the core of who we are, hasn't changed. But just how coaches have to reach teenagers are obviously a little bit different. And y'all's challenges are so much different. You know, there might be something wrong with you that someone said on the phone or on, you know, social media that we had no idea you were dealing with. And you had no idea you were dealing with until you picked up your phone. And so it's about us making sure that we're reading our student athletes and making sure that we're diving into their life so that if something's wrong, we can see it on your face and talk to you about it. So I think as coaches, we have to work harder to make sure that we know what's going on with your life, because years ago, everything was exposed, right? I knew what everything was going on. But the phones have concealed so much, and I think concealed so much with emotions and how you guys live. And so it's really just important that we read the signs and we really engage in your lives to make sure that we don't miss anything.
So as a former football player for you, I've been around you a lot. And you know a lot of football, so how long have you been coaching?
Let's see, I'm starting my 28th year as a football coach, and I've spent it at two high schools. I was at Hartsville High School when I first got out of Newberry College, and then was here for 7 years, went to West Florence for 4 years to be their head coach, and have been back in Hartsville ever since. So really I'm blessed to have a great career, work with great people. One of the things that makes Hartsville such a unique place is there's great people here. And so 28 years and spent 21 at Hartsville High School.
So what advice would you give to a young person trying to get into coaching football?
Make sure your priorities are straight. It's about human beings. It's about players. You know, the game is certain. Obviously, that's why we get in it, because we love the sport. And, you know, you, when you're involved with the sport, you obviously love that. But that's not why you're doing it. You know, your players, your assistant coaches have to take priority no matter what. It's a family, and you have to treat it such as family. And that way, wins and losses are going to come and go. You know, you're going to have great teams, and you're going to have teams that maybe aren't as talented. But if they reach their potential as human beings and you drive them to be better men, in my situation, or women, that's what this is all about. And as a coach, you cannot lose sight of that. It is not about the game. It is not about wins and losses. It is about human beings, and it is about helping each other and making people better.
Well, Coach, we want to thank you for your time today. Anything else you want the Red Fox something to know about the season?
Let me tell you something. What y'all got going on in here is phenomenal. I told you I've been in Hartsville for 21 years, and I've never seen anything what y'all are doing, promoting our school and being excited and getting behind the mic and doing the show. So I'm just going to tell you that, number one, is we love all our Red Foxes, but y'all, what they got going on in this podcast, y'all need to tune in, because these guys are doing some great stuff. So I just appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you once again for listening. Remember, you can listen to the Hartsville Sports Network on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and of course, the home of the Red Foxes, hhsredfoxes.com. I'm your host, Andrew Jaworski, with
Demaya Bishop
and Antonio Hicks, and we're out. Boom! We'll be right back.